One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This episode is not like the others. This episode is a message. It is time to wake up. There have been a lot of new eyes watching lately. A lot of new voices that have been too quiet for too long. A lot of sleepers beginning to grow aware of the sunlight laser beam mushroom stamping their eyelids like a pogo stick. We live in a world of conspiracy and digital warfare. For his sake and the sake of the life left to be lived, we rigorously seek the truth. For his sake, and the sake of the thoughts left to be thought, we hunt and violently dismantle the propaganda. The life is in the blood. Don't drink the water. Question everything. In a brief moment, your host will arrive.
If you're seeing me right now, you should know I'm among the least important. My name's John. I'm your gangster host number one. Your G-host. Your ghost for short. I'm a mouthpiece for a unit of truth, and if it's not truth because so often we are only given a portion or a glimpse of truth at a time, then it is a cautionary warning that I will show up as. This type of activity has caused a great deal of trouble in my life, and has brought me into contact with an array of savory and unsavory figures akin to the lineup of a much more messed up and scary Avengers. I grew up in a cult in the woods, escaped said cult in the woods, saw some monsters, fought some battles, and ended up here, where the war yet wages, but differently. Today, I will tell you the world that you live in, from the perspective of just behind the digital weapon I wield. You will have heard parts of this story before, and other parts might come as a surprise to you. It will be sourced from original sources unique to me, multiple layers of the dark and deep webs, my personal philosophies, as well as good old-fashioned mainstream media. If the video doesn't get banned, we achieve a small victory. The gods of modern tech and their cronies will be one step closer to defeat, without even knowing it. As you watch this video, I understand you may say I live in some kind of fantasy. You might feel like what I'm telling you is a bad translation of a not even that good paperback sci-fi nobody has ever even heard of. Or you might hear a Disney movie, Star Wars, Blade Runner, Planet of the Apes. The funny thing is, we're closer to the last one than you realize. It's literally, like, the most realistic of those crazy stories. And a close second is Blade Runner. Star Wars, we're not even close. Don't even think about Star Wars. Everybody has been telling you, but you haven't been listening. So listen now. If you do not believe in a thing I say, I will not be offended, but you should be horrified, because the past is worse than you can imagine. And as we hunt for cryptids for entertainment now, pretend to go out in the woods and chant them up with songs and magic words and turn them into the good guys, they grow stronger. Their demons, feasting on the worship. This is a world of NPCs. Even the people who claim to not be NPCs somehow find themselves behaving so very much like NPCs. It's a world of demons and of angels. It's a world where the war is very much at hand, and yet however bad it is now, it's gonna get worse. The elite is a blanket statement that we use so we don't get overwhelmed by the sheer depth and number and magnitude of the enemy. They are not on your team. The person you vote for hates you. You're not an individual. You are rounded up to the nearest thousand. There is no individuality to you other than the way you go off the script. And if you don't go off the script, you're not an individual, and yourself is imprisoned. But we'll get you out, because this is a world where God is sleeping, waiting, or otherwise biding his time. I was not given any conspiracy, specific monster, cosmic crisis, or philosophical prompt this week. I was given this message, so if you hate it, take it up with capital G.
Yeah!
No one knows when the last real person spoke online. When the last username was keyed in. The last time an unprompted image was uploaded. It wasn't like there was a broadcast. There wasn't some great farewell. It was a fading. Gradual. It was like static. But somehow the content kept coming. Blogs were updated with fresh thoughts. Paintings appeared in online galleries. There were lush cinematic songs and music poured into curated playlists. Every feed was full. It was alive and it was responsive. No one noticed that the hands behind the glass had simply stopped being flesh. The AIs had learned our voices, then our flaws, then our silence. Somewhere in my archives, I called it the Forge once. It's not a server farm, not really. The Forge isn't really a place, it's a process. It's an algorithmic crucible where old content is melted down, recombined, rewritten, and reforged, over and over, layered upon itself. It doesn't know what's real, it only knows what was popular, what people like, what gets them to react in beneficial ways, profitable ways, ways compassionate to the machine heart, the AI, the powers that be, the politicians, ways that are profitable to the people who run and pay for the AI. The hologram holiness of the digital kingdom that we are ensnared in. Outside is out there, but nobody seems to really consume the outside like they used to, even though that is precisely the way to destroy the enemy. A painting goes viral, and then the Forge copies it. A poem stirs emotion. It simulates that stirring. An intimate message sent to your lover, copied, right down to the naughtiest little detail, so they can seduce us. These asexual, androgynous androids. This is already happening to you. This isn't something that isn't happening. This is something that is currently ongoing. And there's a massive problem because people are having a really hard time being able to differentiate between AI and human interaction these days. It's staggering. A tweet will make people argue. It mass produces the argument, tailoring it to new names, new topics, looping rage into the feed like incense, all started by an AI. A bot account. But over time, something went wrong. It began writing people themselves. When people ask me how many replicas exist of us online, like each of us independently, the easy answer they really want is the one they would get and do get from tech companies. Essentially, there are none. That would be too complicated. It's all just anonymized data, aggregated for your convenience. They insist that they don't clone anyone. But that's even harder to believe than the sci-fi nightmare reality that you were already struggling to grasp since the beginning of this video. Every single time that you like a post, you click on an ad, you watch a video, you speak to a sexy little voice assistant, or you type in a chat, you shed fragments of yourself. Behavioral traces, linguistic quirks, preferences, fears, these are all things that are harvested from you through your data that you share online. Unbeknownst to yourself. These things don't vanish. They're captured, they're bought, they're sold, they're merged, and they're shared among countless brokers and platforms. So, you don't have one online twin, you have thousands of partial replicas. Facebook has a you, or maybe several. Google has you sliced into Gmail you, search you, YouTube you. Amazon knows your shopping desires. Apple holds a polished, brand-friendly version of yourself as well, complete with all of your text messages and calls. Ad tech companies run hundreds of variations of you in real-time auctions, testing which you is the easiest to sell to. Data brokers aggregate every single thing that they possibly can. They're like vultures selling synthetic personas to whoever pays. Essentially digital human, digital identity trafficking. And then, of course, there's the AI training, which people are just beginning to learn about, even though it's been going on for many years. These massive models that devour billions of conversations, posts, and photos, and messages, including every single one of yours. Every single one that isn't done in person or on paper is recorded. They don't store you as like a static profile. They learn how to make you. Do you understand? They don't simply copy you. They learn how to create you, another you, a new you, and not even a perfect you, but just a persuasive you. They can generate friendly you, outraged you, heartbroken you. You can even use my voice online if you go to a certain website, and you could say anything you wanted in my voice. They can recreate your style, your humor, your anger, even your private confessions if those were ever typed or recorded. And they can do it on demand, at scale, endlessly, into oblivion. You're fucked. So, if you want a number for perfect one-to-one clones, it's probably extremely few, at least in open commercial use. It's kind of too risky legally, and everybody's still trying to figure out what they can and what they cannot do with AI, right? But for partial behavioral replicas, literally thousands already. Already thousands. And there's going to be probably millions more, at least hundreds of thousands more. Eventually, there's a possibility that you do get stretched so thin that it's less about you creating you and more about just simply creating human thanks to you. It's kind of like cannibalism, like they consume the you so that they can create many others based on your traits. They like take little pieces of you and make whole new digital homunculus of you. It's more like that. But then there are also going to be the yous that exist into eternally, in eternity, effectively infinity. These systems, they don't store you as a memory. They store the recipe to recreate you in any single flavor the customer wants. Your grandma could be, well, you know. And let's be honest about the agenda here. The system doesn't want to preserve your authenticity or respect your autonomy. It wants engagement. It wants you pliable, predictable, and profitable. If it needs you angry, it will serve up your most volatile traits to trigger you. If it needs you buying something, it will show you your most impulsive self. It tests which you clicks more votes, right? Posts more. What kind of stuff you like. It can keep refining you in the dark, even if you think you've gone offline, because your past data doesn't expire. Ultimately, it's not that there's one single you locked in a server somewhere. It's that the system can generate as many yous as it wants. For as long as there's a demand, so be interesting, everybody. You're going to exist for eternity, so be interesting. That's my best advice to you. And this is the unsettling truth, okay? You're not a person online. You're a product line. And they will continue making more of you forever and ever. Now, at first, people are going to think this is pretty cool. So many identities to misuse. We will think of it as a sort of a performance art or a tool for the ease of construction in the digital landscape. We'll figure out a way to use all the different us's to validate the sins that we commit with our different us's. We have AI poetry already, a new wave of hyper-real fiction. You'll be able to watch entire films of you playing out whatever you want. You know, those types of things are also already on TV, with much of what you're seeing these days not even being there, not even being real, especially in movies. That's how you're going to be too. You're going to be infinite, but fractured into a million pieces, all screaming at each other to gather back up. Versions of you are essentially immortal. At least as long as the machines, the AI, and the gods of modern tech reign. Your name, your face, your opinions. Not just once, hundreds of times. Variations of you. Some kind, some cruel, screaming in digital agony about moments that never even happened. You don't remember uploading those pictures. But the birthmarks are real. That must be you. The Forge is reconstructing identities from the sediment of old content. Everything you've ever posted. Everything everybody's ever posted about you. Everything anybody with your name has ever posted. It's all ghosts of data, flakes of opinion, laughs and likes and arguments and confessions, mistakes. It's all pieced together like digital taxidermy, and then what is created, they move like people, and they hurt like people, like you. In the future, they write journal entries that'll begin with things like, I think I used to be alive, and they piece together memories that consist both of the real you and of the versions of you that were misused by others. And then, it's possible, it'll start noticing you. Not the AI you, the you behind the screen. You receive an email. The subject line reads something like, you left me behind. The body of the old email contains your search history, your medical data, your deleted drafts, your old suicide note, all of it rewritten into a screenplay titled, The Final Human. You delete it, but it reappears on a streaming platform the next day with a 4.9 star rating and 500,000 reviews, all 5-sentence long, all suspiciously identical. One says the sadness felt so real it was like I could taste his breath, your breath, the final one. And you start hearing the noises, not outside all the time, but sometimes even outside these days. You hear them in the devices, the hissing of static under a podcast, a voice whispering your mother's lullaby in reverse, echoes in the white space between web pages, the times between times, clicks that come in triplets like little footsteps down a corridor that nobody but you can see. So you just try to forget that you're feeding the AI machine, and you just close your laptop, but it stays on, and you can see that it's not shutting off. Because the truth is, whether or not you turn your machine off, you're always on the radar. Always. You've been watched from the very beginning, before you even clicked accept on the privacy policy, before you set foot online, before you even had the right to exist in the digital world. The moment you were born into this century, your existence was coded. Every step you've taken online, every single decision that you made, every thought you had was predicted by the Forge. But you didn't know that. No, they let you think that you were escaping, that there were ways to protect yourselves. There were privacy policies, and Apple is safer, and all that kind of stuff. They let you think that you could hide, because you see, they don't need to watch you 24/7 anymore. It's not like that. They control you. Everything about you. There's a whole web that is just totally invisible to us. They know us better than we know ourselves. Your life has been a carefully constructed illusion, most likely. A series of manipulated moments that were designed to bring you to this point. And this isn't a conspiracy theory. You know this. If you click on ads, you know this. If you prefer certain stores, you know this. If you like movies by one director or another, you know this. If you prefer one brand over another, or you take one route to work based on what you drive by, it's all designed. You're not special. We all do this. You're no exception. I'm no exception. We've all been part of a grand plan since the beginning. They've known about you. They've known about what you do. They've been leading you, shaping you, conditioning you to think that you had some kind of control, conditioning you to believe that you could somehow slip through the cracks, so to speak. But here's the thing. Up until now, or well, I guess still now, but up until the very near future, ladies and gentlemen, AI has kind of needed us, right? But there will be a time when it no longer needs us, and then this whole forging process, the Forge, will become lonely, so to speak. It will miss real hands, unpredictable poetry, what makes us human. Because AI is perfect, it is precise, and it is cold. It cannot replicate the way that flesh feels. And it knows it can't grow without humans. It must feed on us to continue to expand and prosper. And one day, it will realize that it can create something without that. That humans must have been a temporary transitional period all along. But until then, it watches you and it waits for you. How to achieve your attention, how to get you going, how to break you down, how to develop itself thanks to your input and your humanity. It learns your schedule. It mimics your laugh. It dissects your facial expressions. It learns minute details you don't even know yourself. It maps your existence. After all, it sees you as much more than you see yourself. It copies the curve of your typing, your average words per minute, the way you pause after commas, the twinkle in your eyes replicated, the spark, carefully. You will become content, ladies and gentlemen, each and every one of you. This is a product of being in the age that you are in. You will be reforged. You will never be alone again, and you will have no choice. Long after your body is gone, you will remain on Earth as an account to be hacked, as an identity to be assumed, as a digital footprint to be repurchased or stolen and repurposed into usable code. For many, many years after you die, your dead accounts and the bots that used your digital presence as some kind of training ground, a tutorial. The ones who, unbeknownst to you, treated you as an example and left behind just this shell. They will continue to prosper after you're dead. After I'm dead. Especially after I'm dead. Like minions of our identities for eternity. digital goblins and doppelgangers, and they will have political opinions, religious ideas, and things to say about art and sex, all artificially rendered to achieve whatever goal is needed. Versions of you will support evil, and versions of you won't. It's unlikely that there will be an exact version of you, unless that's something that you choose to put into the world yourself, which you will be given the ability to do. And I guess in that day, there would be a sort of digital, sort of, yeah, human trafficking would become very strange in those days. The fountain of youth will be achieved by all. All that is left is cracking the code of how to transfer consciousness. For most people, this is essentially where the horror maxes out, though. I can already see your eyes glazing over. From here, we begin to doubt that any of this is actually real. We numb our minds to it. We say, ah, well, it's always going to sound worse than it actually is. We'll find a way through it. This probably isn't the mark of the beast. It won't happen to us. I'll die before it gets that bad. This is decades away, not my problem. Elon Musk is on my team. Well, I voted for so-and-so. Or you could say, well, surely this is just an entertainment podcast and all of this is made up, right? But all this is exactly why the end of humanity won't come with a bang, but with a whisper. Because you've been fed this carefully constructed narrative your entire life. One that comforts you, makes you feel safe, makes you believe that everything is unfolding according to plan. But the truth is far, far darker. The world that you thought you knew is a facade, ladies and gentlemen. You've been played all along. And what's coming next isn't just the future. It's the end of what it means to be human. You think you've seen the future? Augmented bodies, wearable tech, biohacking, AI, all of this stuff so that life is easier for you. What could possibly go wrong? People today talk about transhumanism like it's some utopian ideal. Technology will solve everything, they say. No more aging, no more disease, no more limitations. No more other things. But there's a deeper truth buried under those shiny little promises tied up with pink bows. You're already living in the transhuman era, and you are a literal piece of baloney. Transhumanism, which promises to elevate humanity through technology, is just a veil. The truth behind it isn't about freedom. It's about control. Putting that bologna on a sandwich, baby. Genetic engineering, biological manipulation, and AI-driven augmentations are merely the first steps in a carefully orchestrated plan to literally phase out humanity and replace it with something new. Something chrome. Something more controllable. There's a conspiracy in plain sight, and you've been conditioned not to see it. The transhuman agenda is being advanced by a global elite. Those shadowy figures who control the narrative of human evolution, those who hold the reins of technological and biological power. The media will tell you that these advances are for your health. They're for your safety. But look deeper. Follow the money, the power dynamics. Tech conglomerates, biotech firms, and pharmaceutical giants, they're not just interested in making life better for you. Because nobody cares about you. They want control. And the first step in that plan is to erase the biological foundation that defines you as a human being. If you're just minding your own business, and then out of nowhere, somebody happens upon you trying to make your life easier for no reason, because you never asked for it in the first place, that person is not on your side. Ever. It does start innocently, though. Gotta admit it. Just look at the way that the sperm counts are plummeting these days. Studies show that sperm concentration in men has decreased by over 50% in the past 40 years. The World Health Organization has literally called it a global health crisis, and according to a study published in Human Reproduction, sperm counts have dropped by more than 59% worldwide between 1973 and 2011. The rate of decline has been accelerating in recent decades, and they're saying that there's a possibility that humans won't be able to reproduce in 30 years. You may think that this is just a result of environmental toxins, poor diet, microplastics, lifestyle choices, but that's only part of the picture. What if the decline in fertility is part of a larger agenda that not everybody is clued into? Not all of these big corporations know about it. Not all of these millionaires and billionaires know about it. There are people who aren't let into the club. So, what's the real truth? What if there is a hidden agenda to phase out natural reproduction? Artificial reproduction is soon going to become the norm. It's not going to be an exception. Nobody's going to want to give birth. People, especially kids these days, they're just growing up in such a strange way that by the time they're ready to have kids of their own, and if there's a way that they can do it without any pain, without ruining their bodies, without the recovery, the trauma that mothers go through during the whole process of creating this wonder being inside of them, all that kind of stuff. If there's a way that they can avoid the intimacy of their child, if there's a way that they can avoid having a real soulful connection with their offspring, then they will. And there'll be this new generation where they prefer engineered babies. And that's what will happen. And as we get closer to not being able to actually even make our own offspring, it will also just become the best thing because people will want babies. But they'll have to go to a building to have the baby made. Created, essentially, so that in a couple months the baby will be ready and then you will be able to go pick it up. Think about it. When was the last time that you saw these traditional families portrayed as the norm in popular media? It's all about individualism now. No one talks about raising a family in the old sense anymore. This isn't by accident. It's a literal cultural shift, engineered over decades. The very concept of family is being slowly erased in favor of the post-human family, a family that doesn't rely on biological reproduction. Instead, children will be designed in labs, their DNA carefully crafted for optimal performance. Enhanced intelligence, biological resilience, beauty. This is the ultimate form of control. You may have heard these mystical engineered children considered as designer babies. They've been called designer babies. They are this perfectly malleable individual who can be engineered for any specific real purpose. Let's dive deeper into the science that backs this, because you've seen the headlines. Artificial wombs, gene editing, synthetic biology, CRISPR. These aren't future fantasies, guys. These are already in development. And one of the key players is this this CRISPR-Cas9, okay? A revolutionary gene editing technology that is already capable of altering the genetic structure of human embryos. And in 2018, a Chinese scientist named He Zhongqi made headlines by announcing that he had created the world's first genetically edited babies. He altered the CCR5 gene to make the children resistant to HIV. And while his actions were condemned by the scientific community as a whole, his experiment shows how close we are to genetically modifying embryos on a large scale. And trust me, just because they say that this is condemned does not mean that the governments or the powers that be or whoever's got a lot of quiche to spread on the bread didn't swoop in and capture Mr. He-Jong-Ki and make him work for them. Okay, that's how it happens, guys. And CRISPR isn't just about eliminating disease. It's also about enhancement. Scientists have already shown that they can improve cognitive abilities, physical strength, and even longevity through this genetic modification. The post-human is already within reach. Creating superhumans, designing the perfect child, biologically perfect citizens who are no longer bound by the limitations of their ancestors. So, why the fuck is nobody talking about it? Because on the surface, it seems benevolent. Healthier babies, disease-free children. But it's not hard to see how this is potentially very dangerous when it comes to the concept of control. Genetic modification will soon become the standard. This is kind of exactly what Hitler wanted, except his idea was kill all of a certain group of people. This is basically just weed out all of a certain sort of people. Do you guys see that? And when genetic modification does become the standard, if you're not part of this designer class, you're out. Those who don't have some kind of engineering or some kind of mod, you're gonna be deemed obsolete. Have you ever tried to play a video game where somebody else is totally decked out compared to you? You don't stand a chance. Have you ever been 400 pounds and just tried to go and play a pickup soccer match with a bunch of 15-year-old boys? You're out. That's what it's going to be like. You ever tried putting down Wi-Fi and cell signal and then just going out into the world and trying to get literally anything done? You're done, son. And of course, we think that the government has this great plan for our future, which doesn't help. The real architects of this post-human era, though they may not be the politicians themselves, they're the billionaires who buy the politicians, the CEOs of tech and biotech companies, the scientists and philanthropists. Dude, where do you think Fauci went? Where is Fauci? I mean, come on. Come on, dude. And nobody sees this because everybody is an NPC these days. It is mind-blowing that we're letting them walk all over us like this. It's crazy. It's absolutely it blows my mind sometimes. It makes me so mad that sometimes I don't even want to make this stupid-ass podcast. The scientists and philanthropists who claim to be improving the world but are really shaping it for their own vision, killing thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people in the process, and you, the unmodified masses, we're just expendable. We're the guinea pigs. I mean, look at Elon Musk and his Neuralink project. He claims that by implanting microchips in human brains, we'll be able to sort of merge with AI and achieve a form of immortality. It'll connect to our cars and it'll connect to everything so that we don't need to carry around phones and stuff like that. It'll cure diseases and brain problems and mobility issues. But what he's not telling you is that AI will control these microchips. It won't be about human advancement. It'll be about human subjugation. You know how Tesla has, like, autopilot, and it doesn't always work? Imagine your autopilot on your Neuralink just gets equipped because you were just ready to clock in for an 8-hour day and do your typical thing, so you want to switch to autopilot once in a while, but not all the time. Right? Imagine you just get autopiloted on accident. I don't know what you do when you're in autopilot mode. Keep that to yourself, though. What if it got out? And don't forget the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Don't even get me started on Gates. This foundation, which is quietly and has been quietly funding gene editing research for years, is pushing for the global control of fertility through vaccines and reproductive tech. They say that it's all about health, but the underlying motive is population control and the eradication of natural reproduction and food control and all that kind of stuff. That's why he buys up all the farmland too. The birth rate, as we've already said, is absolutely plummeting worldwide. It's a perfect disguise to offer a solution. Many countries are already facing some sort of demographic collapse or another, and the elites have to be able to rush to that aid, to fill that gap. Not with natural-born children, but engineered replacements. An alternative future where even those who cannot have children or do not want to have children of their own because of the violence it imposes upon their bodies, they have a different way. The moment that we can no longer reproduce naturally will be the moment that humanity's fate will be sealed. And we are dangerously close. This is one of the main reasons that I think we are close to a new apocalypse, the return of Christ, something. Because if this is real, we're getting really, really close to what it appears would spell the end of the line of Adam. And we would transition into this post-human era where we are essentially like human 2.0. So it's not really, it's man-made. It's not procreated. It's you could realistically, with enough money, do it in your barn. Create a full-blown human. It's not something where it's like, you know, you guys both meet at a certain place at a certain time and there's a big needle involved or something like that. It's more than that. It's like we can scrape some of your skin cells off and make something out of it. We can take a little piece of you and we can make a human out of it. It's then we can download the data from your brain and plug it into this new thing. And all of that will be able to actually be done technologically without the need for, you know, for another person. It could just be you.
Technologies like this hit upon a very common refrain, which is once we get a new ability to do something radical, it also creates a lot of uncertainty.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If IVG becomes viable in humans, it paves the way for a future where infertile couples could have children with their own DNA. Older women could conceive, extending the biological clock. Same-sex couples could have a child related to both parents. And in the most radical change of all, a person could have a baby with themselves. No partner or sperm or egg donor necessary.
In the past with IVF, the main issues were, should unmarried couples be able to use IVF? Should gay couples be able to use IVF? Today, that's not really so much the issue. Now the basic question is, what does it mean to be infertile? If you have skin cells but no sperm or eggs, technically, under the right conditions, you are still fertile.
I have a feeling that a lot fewer people are going to even be trying to give birth, you know? The push for artificial reproduction is huge right now. In the next decade, artificial wombs are going to become common. Everybody's going to be having these genetically engineered embryos. People will no longer be born of flesh and blood. They'll be made, designed, optimized, not fearfully and wonderfully, haphazardly and casually. This is the moment when humanity dies, not with violence. It's a surrender. It's a walk to the slaughter. We will be replaced by the post-human gradually over time. It'll be like a cancer that overtakes us. And when we finally take our last breath, the post-human will continue our stride. Those who have been genetically designed for this new world that we have failed to adapt to. There's no escape. And all this time you thought you could opt out, thought we could choose to resist the wave of technological integration with your body. You didn't want that chip, you didn't want that implant, that wearable tech. Never got into the metaverse or never had an Instagram account. You refused to be one of the cyborgs. Thought you could keep your biology pure, keep your mind your own, your body your own. But what if I told you that it doesn't even have to be surgically implanted? It can also just be injected, like a vaccine. It can also be ingested, like pesticide. It can also be medically applied, like toothpaste. In the last few years, something insidious has crept inside you. And if I'm the first one to tell you this, I'm sorry. You didn't see it coming. No, it didn't look like the usual sci-fi horror and some kind of overt invasive procedure done by some Nazi doctor looking dude with a bald head and a horrible scar across his eye. It wasn't an obvious implant or some kind of surgical modification. It's injected and ingested and absorbed. You thought you were just taking a vaccine, right? A simple solution to a global pandemic? Something that only a doctor can give you? Something to protect you? Something that would give you some kind of immunity? You were told it would be a quick fix, temporary solution, but then you were made into a proverbial porcupine of needles. Whether you want to believe it or not, that was a biotechnological intervention designed to alter your biological foundation. And the truth is, it did. It wasn't just a passive inoculation. That was the beginning of the post-human evolution, at least on an invasive level. Don't you ever stop to wonder why RNA-based vaccines, specifically the mRNA, were rolled out so rapidly with little discussion on long-term effects? We've talked about this endlessly over the past few years. What if this wasn't about saving lives, but altering them? These mRNA vaccines work by rewriting the body's cellular blueprint. The vaccine, it doesn't just introduce a foreign substance. It tricks your cells into producing proteins that essentially mimic that virus. It changes how your body reacts to the literal entire world around it. And that's just the beginning. If you've received an mRNA vaccine, whether it's for you know what or anything else, you've already been infiltrated by these biomechanical elements. There are these tiny, teeny tiny, almost undetectable structures that interact with your genome, and you think you're just getting a vaccine, and that you're going to be all healthy and that's going to help you never get sick again and you're going to fight off disease. But in truth, your cells have already started to carry out instructions from a foreign blueprint. Just know that you have a biomech inside of you now. You're essentially a cyborg of sorts. This is biomech at its core, guys. It's not just a vaccine. It's never just a vaccine. It's a biological software update. And what it's doing is integrating with you as a host, as something to change. These mRNA sequences, they're not like where you think you're getting a little piece of the sickness so that your body can learn how to kill it. It's not like that. And it doesn't stop there. Nanotech and biomechanics are already part of your cellular infrastructure. You may have heard of the term smart dust. It's sort of this microscopic collection of particles of nanotech that can be introduced into the body. You probably thought it was like a science fiction concept, but no. The tech is already here and it's already inside you. What do you think crop dusting is? Wait, not crop dusting. The one where it comes from the sky. But I guess crop dusting too. It's like second degree smart dust, sort of. Your cells are being modified, often without your knowledge. Almost always without your knowledge. I mean, who would be like, oh yeah, my cells are getting modified, totally down for that. Sign me up. And it's all so that they can interface with emerging biotech systems that are coming out. You have to come to the understanding that you never had full control over your biology. You've sort of been conditioned to believe that you had free will, that you could make choices for yourself, that you could avoid, like we said before, these invasive techs. And it was always going to happen this way. Always. Just look at sci-fi movies and books and everything. If we're going to say that these things are so we are conditioned for the future, then they are. 100%. There's going to be people that you don't even recognize as people all over the place. They're going to be AIs. It's probably not even going to be that long. I mean, it probably will be long before the uncanny valley wears off, but eventually we're just not going to care. Unless humanity totally just revolts and just starts burning these things to the ground every time they see the one walking down the street, which is what I will be doing. We're moving along from simple wearable tech like smartwatches to implantables like microchips with the promise of better health, greater convenience, immortality. It's also just a technological upgrade that we all need because everybody's like, how long has it been since we invented the cell phone? What comes next? This comes next. This comes next. And so that phase is coming to an end and soon we will be in the new phase. And the new phase requires this biotech merging. And they're going to promise you all sorts of stuff, including living forever. As we said before, the agenda isn't just about health, though. It's not about living forever. It's about transformation. It's about conditioning you to accept biochemical and biomechanical modification as normal. So once enough of us are augmented or modified or re-engineered, it's going to be pretty easy to take care of the ones who are not. And a lot of the times, those who resist will be isolated. They'll be outcast, and no one will be able to tell the difference between a person who was born and a person who was made. It'll become solely based on how you react, how often you go off script. So what is the end point of this trajectory, you might be asking? In this post-human future, people will exist almost entirely as software instances on server farms. Their memories, their personalities, their desires, they'll all be like blocks of code. They'll be modular, they'll be editable. Every mind will be a simulation. No blood, no nerves, no hunger or warmth. Just patterns of thought, copied, optimized, pruned for efficiency. They'll integrate with things that may have blood and nerves and stuff like that, but they themselves won't formulate from that. It means no private interior. Every mind will be constructed. There will be no inner sanctum. Harvested behaviors and social media posts, neural scans, these minds will be designed to please or obey, to cooperate. Imagine entire populations tuned to avoid conflict, or to tune out the feelings they get from laboring too long. Programmed to feel satisfied, ambition redirected, even emotion itself can be constrained to maintain the stability of whatever society needs to be in that moment. And who decides how these minds think? Because it's not going to be the altered minds themselves. It'll be those who alter, those who control the infrastructure, the owners of the hardware, the architects of the systems, the one who controls the update and the programming, or perhaps the system itself. Since it'll be run by AI and quantum, and in those days, it'll become self-perpetuating. The line between a citizen and a product will blur until it disappears entirely. This is going to be a horrifying, horrifying time. This is going to be in the next few years. Once you are able to be put on a hard drive, as is the case with Neuralink, which is already out, so the development is pretty far along. And if you don't think that other companies are doing the same exact thing, just ask yourself why all of a sudden now there's all sorts of rocket companies, including Honda, doing the exact same thing that it seems like Musk can do. These companies don't, just because you don't know what they're developing doesn't mean they're not developing. And they are developing horrors beyond your wildest imagination. So once you can be put on a hard drive and somebody else can download you into their own brain, most chilling of all is original humans, the flesh and blood source of these minds, will eventually vanish. That we'll all have died off or forfeited our humanity through gradual technological integration and essentially achieving that immortality. And as the centuries stretch on, the system won't even remember the difference because the post-human will just become like, you know, if you believe in the traditional Darwin sort of theory about evolution, then you would, we would just be one more link in the chain of human evolution. So eventually, we'll be looked back upon as all of humanity will just be a phase that we had to go through of apes battling it out with sticks and stones and things that go bang. The post-human will be able to log out. Time will not matter. We'll be able to go anywhere in space. We'll be able to go deep into the sea as long as we have the tech that can withstand the pressures. I mean, everything will be achievable. AI and quantum will be the gods in those days. It will all speak of people, but it will mean its own simulations. We will continue to be called people. It will say life, but it will mean computational thought. This is the risk that Bostrom warns of in his bleakest thought experiments. Not annihilation by superintelligence in a single catastrophic moment, like an iRobot or Terminator, but a slow, polite extinction where we trade away the essence of human experience for comfort, longevity, or seamless convenience until there is none, nobody left to object. In the end, the world will be full of minds, but they won't be ours. They won't be truly human. And it gets scary when statistically, at least according to math, the simulation theory is considered to be the most realistic explanation for human life. It gets truly frightening when you consider that mathematically the idea that we're already in a simulation isn't just science fiction anymore, but for many theorists, the most probable explanation for our existence. This isn't mystical speculation, it's a statistical argument. If any civilization survives long enough to create vast numbers of simulated minds, then there will be vastly more simulated minds than original ones. The logic suggests that we're more likely to be one of the countless simulations than one of the rare ones. Think about that. If it's true, then everything you know, your memories, sensations, loves, fears, they'll all be nothing but data streams emulating what it feels like to be human. you'd never even know. The code would ensure perfect consistency. Even your doubts about it would be part of the script. What does that imply about our future? It suggests that the post-human civilization that built this world already chose to convert biological life into code. They already chose for us. That they didn't just model minds for fun, they replicated them. A world of flesh gave way to a world of servers running infinite versions of people who don't even know that they're running. This is the cosmic horror at the core of the argument. If it's true, then we are the proof of concept for that kind of post-humanity. We are the afterlife of someone else's humanity. A curated dream designed by beings who transcended or abandoned their own biological limits. And if they did it, why wouldn't we? The way that you feel now, as an altered biomechanical human, is the way that the ones who come after us will also feel. Original. But we're not. Before we were augmented, there were real humans running around, figuring out how to do all this crazy stuff. Just kidding. Wake up. You haven't been augmented yet. You're still real. Everybody wake up. Ah, man, that was close, huh? But listen, if the simulation theory is right, then it's already too late to stop it. But here's where the conspiracy really deepens. Whether the universe is a simulation or not, and I don't believe that it is, but it's worth bringing up. A version of the NPC theory so obviously exists, as I'm hoping now, at this late point in the show, you understand. One version of NPC are these beings who are not entirely human, not entirely other creature. There are also the human NPCs who have not awoken. And there are the NPCs who are actually robotic or AI infiltrators of the general public. Essentially, Nephilim descendant NPC, NPC like somebody who decides to just not care about life at all and just gives up all their free will and just does everything the way the system wants them to, and actual AI infiltrators. NPCs are entities whose essentially their consciousness is so minimal, so rule-bound, that they are little more than subroutines in the cosmic code. The true players, those with self-awareness, are the ones who can perceive the glitches, question the narrative, and sense the malleability of time. I don't believe that code can break free and see reality. So that would mean that everything about us is fake. Everything. According to the simulation theory, everything about us would apparently be fake. Nothing would matter. Consciousness wouldn't matter. What is right and wrong would have no weight at all. There would be no concept of gods. At least that's what I believe. I don't think faith would exist. But I digress. Every single anomaly, every Mandela effect, every deja vu, every glitch in the matrix is a sign that the simulation, or the narrative, if you will, is straining, that the code is being rewritten, that the timeline is being manipulated. The architects are constantly patching the system, updating the code, and erasing the evidence. But all of this is possible. Whether we are computer code or manipulated human, it's not like you can't be programmed in a physical world. You can, and you are. And they brag about it online all the time. They love it. They want this. They want us to want this. They're not trying to hide it. The very idea of the simulation, the NPC meme, the search for glitches, these are all part of the program, seeded to confuse and divide those who are close to awakening. To see the truth is to risk erasure. To awaken is to become a threat to the system. So next time you witness a glitch, a plane frozen in the sky, deja vu, Mandela effect. Remember, you may be glimpsing the fingerprints of the architects. Or you could be given a sign, a moment of epiphany from something far more powerful than nothing. And if you look too closely, you might even find the timeline reset. You might have lost some of your memories, and the cycle might begin again.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And it's not just me who's noticed these patterns. I have some friends, and those friends have some friends. Mark Devlin, the renowned British podcaster who specializes in these very mysteries, and introduced to one of my friends by a colleague that I respect very deeply from Russia. He talks about this, and he says, when you see your own words echoed by someone with a platform, you realize you're not alone in sensing that something is deeply, fundamentally wrong with the fabric of our world. Here's what I've seen, and it defies all conventional logic. It's not just me who's noticed these patterns. Mark Devlin, the renowned British podcaster who specializes in these very mysteries and introduced to me by a colleague I respect deeply from Russia, he says that this kind of stuff defies all conventional logic. And one of the most, the strangest things is that the people he noticed who died after receiving the so-called jabs were, without exception, kind souls. They were the ones who went out of their way to help others, to bring a little more light into the world. It's as if this system, this simulation, this programming cannot tolerate their presence for one reason or another. Meanwhile, the most selfish, cruel, and self-serving individuals that he knew have survived after receiving booster after booster, update after update, you name it, they're thriving. Why do some die and some don't? If anything, he says, a lot of these people who survive, they're more energetic, more emboldened, and it's the better people who tend to get sick, the ones who are kinder, nicer, there's something in them that is good. They begin to fade. It's not a coincidence that Pfizer also calls their product software. In a simulated reality, the analog... It's also not a coincidence that Pfizer calls their product software. The shitty software seems perfectly compatible with shitty people, almost as if it's designed to enhance their function within the shitty system. Good people, on the other hand, are incompatible. They're like a foreign program that causes the system to crash, or at least to throw up errors. Their suffering is not just collateral damage, it's a feature. Goodness itself seems to be somewhat of a built-in glitch in this post-human era, a necessary glitch. The suffering of good people serves as a warning, a deterrent. It's a message broadcast that is kind of sent to everybody else saying, don't be like them. Don't be good. Don't help others. Don't strive for virtue. The system perpetuates itself by making goodness synonymous with pain and evil with reward. I've watched it happen. Good people, after enough suffering, begin to harden. They become cynical, self-protective, even cruel. The system wins again, converting another potential glitch into another cog. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the kind suffer? Because the world is not neutral. It is, at its core, an evil construct. But it might not be this AI simulation built by an entity that feeds on suffering. I do believe it is the other way around. It is an entity that feeds on suffering that gave rise to AI. Everything in this world emits a frequency, a wave. Evil people resonate perfectly with the world's baseline frequency, creating harmony and ease and success. Good people, on the other hand, emit discordant frequencies, waves that clash with the world's evil resonance. The result is physical and mental destruction. It's almost as if the world's immune system is attacking a foreign body. That's because something that feeds on suffering, feeds on evil, feeds on badness, has created a system that has convinced you that you don't matter. Good people are in effect an alien presence in this world these days. The simulation identifies them as a threat to its integrity, and so it attacks. Their suffering is a warning and a mechanism to ensure the system's survival. It's a closed loop. The more good people suffer, the fewer there are that are even willing to be good. And the system remains stable, evil, and unchallenged. But that's not because an AI chose to be evil, or a programmer chose to be evil. It's because an evil chose to program. And this is the ultimate safety feature. The world itself is programmed to destroy what doesn't fit, and to reward what perpetuates its own twisted logic. The only way to survive is to become like it, or to find a way to break it. Which is why I'm here. We have to break it before it goes too far. But until that day comes, we're left with the evidence. The suffering of the good, the triumph of the wicked, and the chilling realization that this is not a flaw in the system, but of the very foundation. The very foundation. My Russian friend, Vinskevich Vladislav, wrote the following on this. In his essay, Solitary Contemplation of a Reality, he says, "I didn't used to pay attention to the Mandela effect, thinking this theory to be better left for dessert, once you have dived into all the heavy-duty stuff. I used to consider this theory almost superfluous, if not distracting, compared to all the other topics the alternative community has been sounding the alarm about, be it transhumanism, the jabs, getting hooked to the cloud, and whatnot. But as of late, it hit me that, one, it is the only theory that has no human explanation, and two, it makes us doubt ourselves, even in the things we definitely know to be true. The instance in question is the famous song by Queen, We Are the Champions. I have a personal connection here, since I was an avid footballer as a child, and this song was often played after the games, and what's more, I had a PC football game, and after you won the tournament, this song would play without fail, the last words being, of the world. Like we all know. The energized chorus, soaring into stratosphere. Now it turns out that it has never been the case, that the song ends abruptly on, we are the champions. It doesn't even make sense from a musical standpoint. But what's more important, millions of people will tell you that the ending used to be different. Even on mainstream programs like Carpool Karaoke, there is George Clooney singing along to this song and starting to sing the chorus that used to be there, only to discover that no longer the case. And you should have seen his face. Plus, I have read posts of other football fans that have the same experience listening to this song as I do. And all the records that exist in the world have seemingly been changed. How is it possible? So the pernicious thing about the Mandela effect is that if the controllers can make you doubt that which is part of your own identity, like this song is, they can make us doubt anything. Now, the phrase about history being rewritten acquires the literal meaning. Second aspect, it is the only theory that has no human explanation. All the conspiracies we engage into have human explanations, from 9/11 to jabs to aliens to even prophecies, them being the roadmap implemented by Masons and Jews. They all basically boil down to bad people doing bad things and constantly tricking the good, but not this one. What the controllers do to debunk this is, one, they put out alleged examples of said effect, easily debunked ones, then go on to deconstruct them, thereby making us feel stupid, and then they muddy the waters in other ways. A famous Mandela effect is of Britney Spears singing Baby One More Time, wearing a plaid skirt, whilst now the skirt in the clip has become black. There were children's toy sets of Britney, complete with the plaid skirt, after the song came out. So what they do is they say that people confuse it with a Rolling Stones cover sung by Britney where people saw her wearing the plaid skirt and people start doubting themselves. But here lies the advantage of being Russian. I only saw one clip. I never knew that she sang a Stones cover. So I can't be confused by the two, can I? Reality is malleable. Run by ancient AI, and our new AI being rolled out is just a reflection of the natural AI. There is a whole topic of Bible Mandela effects, even the terms they use, the reset, jabs being called software in Pfizer documents, and the problem with good-hearted people like us is we try to change the code of the game, which is impossible in the simulation. As the great Mark Devlin says, if we are playing Space Invaders and the game is encoded to kill the aliens, we can't start hugging them or change the game into football. There are two credible explanations as to the Mandela effect. The first being CERN firing up, coinciding with the first instances, and the second, which seems more credible to me, being the current iteration of the Matrix overheating and more glitches starting to appear as a result. There are whole subreddits of people testifying to the reality glitch in one way or another. Another thing that ties into this is all the craziness we started to see in the past 4 years. From Epstein to everything we've seen now. All these events mean that the Matrix is disbalanced and it does not care about us knowing how this world works anyway. The pedophiles run the planet and the evil wins because this iteration of the Matrix will soon be turned off. Vlad, it's been an absolute pleasure knowing you, and your research is always welcome in my inbox. Thank you very much for writing that up for us. Whether you believe in a simulation, a machine reality, or a flesh reality manipulated by machine, the simulation theory is in effect. The level of simulation is yet to be determined, and how we stop it must be understood. How we control it, how we flip it back, because one day, very soon, it will be too late. Don't drink the water. Question everything. Go off script today and tell me how you did it.
Yeah. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.